Hello, my friends. I'm so excited that you're tuning in with us for Lunchtime with God Bible Study Teaching. It is my prayer that through this teaching, you are empowered to live your better life now. Always remembering, it was God who created your life, but it's up to you to create the level of your living. For more information about this ministry, visit us online at betterlifeseeker.com. I'm Pastor Adrian Blue, and I look forward to empowering you as your trusted source in biblical teaching. We're excited about your experience of better that starts right here and right now. Stay tuned with your Bible and your notepad, and let's go.
Good afternoon, family of God. Welcome and thank you for joining us on our Lunchtime with God. We bless the Lord for all who are on the line today, those who are here for the first time, and those who are returning. We thank the Lord for you all. As the Word says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. In other words, put God first and you will receive all that He has for you. In a moment, we'll be joined by our leader and teacher who will be bringing us the word for today. In the meantime, between time, get your Bibles, notebooks, and pens ready so that we'll be able to take notes and receive as our leader teaches us. So let's prepare our hearts and to receive our leader, spiritual leader, and teacher, Pastor A.L. Blue. Please continue to hold. Thank you.
Everybody, welcome to our Lunchtime with God. This is our Bible study cast. And certainly, I know you can hear me and listen request to say, Pastor Blue, can you do the teaching where we can see you? And here's the deal. We don't have no problem doing that. We're going to be updating a lot of the way we come to you like we do on Saturdays and Thursday nights. But what's more important is that you hear what I have to say. Again, we will be using some new platforms which will allow you to see and hear. But it's good that you're able to listen because remember, the Word of God is very clear. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it gives me great joy every week to be able to be back with you. I know last week we had a bye week, if you will. But we are back this week, and we are grateful to the Lord for allowing us to be on at this particular time. All right, so with that said, I want you to grab your Bibles in your hand. We are in the midst of our new teaching series. This is part three of the series, and if you missed the first parts one and two, don't be dismayed. You'll still be able to follow along, but it's going to give you some insight to what we're teaching and what we're making available for the life of the believer. Because make no mistake about it, this should be the greatest time of your life living for the Lord. But however, it's a certain way we live for God after the cross than we did before the cross. And that's what I'm going to talk to you today about in this third installment of our series. And I want you to get your Bibles ready and get some pens and paper. Why? Because in this time, generally, when I preach to inspire. Today, I'm teaching to inform. There is a difference. The reason why I got to teach to inform you, because when you start wrapping your mind around the understanding of who you are in Christ today, after the cross, and I'm talking about the new covenant experience, the easier it is to live your life in freedom. That's why we call this series, Free to Be Me. Free to be me. Because there is a lot of spiritual blindness going on in the body of Christ. Now, this spiritual blindness is not based upon people who are rebelling against God. It is a spiritual blindness based upon ignorance due to the tradition. There are certain things that we have done traditionally, or what I like to call the traditional religious, that literally has no bearing or foundation in the Word of God today after the covenant. And if you understand what this ministry is about, Better Life the Movement, we are really excited about teaching people how, according to Hebrews 6 and 9, that there are things that accompany salvation. We are excited to teach people what are those things that accompany salvation. What is the other half of your spiritual life that you have never tapped into, that you're able to tap into now. And if you listen to me, if you follow along with me, as I'm teaching you in this journey, it's going to challenge your tradition. But here's the deal. Nothing wrong with challenging tradition when truth is presented. Why is that important? Because when you challenge tradition with truth, and you choose truth over tradition, then what happens is, you then will find yourself being able to walk in the fullness that God has in store. Because truth always has to go beyond tradition. Matter of fact, the Word of God is very clear when it comes to tradition. It's the traditions of man that makes the Word of God of no effect. So a lot of the traditions of man is what has caused the Word of God not to have its power among the people of God the way it should. Are you following what I'm saying here? And this is where we see where the challenge has been. This is where we see where the issues have been. Because we've been seeing individuals of God for a long time. They've been living for God, trying to serve the Lord, trying to dot their I's and cross their T's. And what we call this, write this down because this will help you, performance-based Christianity never works. Oh, I just read about 10 people up right there. Performance-based Christianity never works. Now, what do I mean by that? It never works because you cannot fulfill the standard alone of what God was looking for when it comes to righteousness. The New Testament says it this way, for those of you who are Bible readers, it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So if at our greatest attempt, we fail, is it worth trying at all? And here's the thing. It's not about whether it's worth trying at all or all. It's really about how you flow with God in this new relationship that has been established after the new covenant. Because there is a difference. And if you have followed us along from the previous installment of this teaching series, you have seen where I've shown you that according to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, there was a change in the relationship that God had with mankind. It wasn't the same kind of relationship, and we're going to deal with that today. So if you're writing, taking notes, this is the title that we're going to be dealing with today, Works versus Faith. Which are you committed to? That's what I want to talk about today. Works versus Faith. Which are you committed to? Are you committed to works? Or are you committed to faith? Either way, it's important for you to understand because our results will be based upon our understanding. Never forget it. The greater aware you are of God, His blessings, and this new covenant, the more you can believe Him for, the more you can walk in, the more you can experience. But if you are ignorant, meaning you do not know what you can believe for, you do not know how to operate. You do not know how to engage the Lord in your circumstance. You will always live beneath your privilege. And as a Bible teacher, there's nothing more frustrating than seeing a lot of super religious people living beneath where they should be. And the Lord showed me that the only reason why this has happened is people have subscribed to a way of works versus the way of faith. We're going to talk about that today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for making teaching easy and understanding easier. Now, speak to my eyes, speak to my ears, speak to my lips, that you be glorified in heaven and your people edified here on earth. I thank you, O God, that it's only a matter of time before everything you have promised, we will see performed in our lives. And we thank you for giving us the clarity that we're learning and receiving today as to how we can be in line with a new covenant experience for such a time as this. God, we give you the praise and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We declare it to be so, and we declare and decree that it is. We thank you now. Amen, amen, and yes again, amen. All right, thanks to the Most High. Let's start off with this understanding. God has made many promises to us. But unless you and I begin to understand the difference between the works of the law and the works of faith, we will never be able to receive those promises. I'll say it again. Until you understand the difference between the works of the law and the works of faith, you will never be able to receive the promises of God. And when I'm talking about the promises of God, I'm talking about in light of the finished works of Jesus Christ. For it is useless to try to get God to do what he's already done. And people who are ignorant to what it means to live after the new covenant, they're trying to get God to do what he's already done. Have you ever tried to pray? And in your prayer, you ask the Lord, oh, Lord, I just need you to show up and work this out. And it seems as though God done nothing. And it almost brought you to a place of frustration because others talk about how quickly God is answering their prayer, but it seems like God isn't answering yours. And why is that so? And it's because of this one principle. God, it is useless trying to get God to do what he's already done. Most of the time, when you don't understand what this new covenant is all about, you are trying to get God to do something that he's already done for you. And I want you to understand it because religion has conditioned us to think according to the old Mosaic law. And when I say the old Mosaic law, I'm talking about the law that was established within the Pentateuch or the first five books of the Bible. And that law, which says that if we do good, we will get good. If we do bad, we will get bad. In short, that is bondage. That's not freedom. The good that God does for you is not based upon your work or your behavior alone. It's based upon your belief or your faith. If it was based upon your work, none of us qualify. From the pulpit to the back door, nobody qualifies. For while my struggle may not be your struggle, and your struggle may not be my struggle, here's the reality. Everybody struggles with something. And it's the grace of God. Glory, I feel like reading this thing right now. Let me calm it down. It is the grace of God that doesn't give us what we deserve, but give us favor we don't. You do understand that's what grace is. What is grace? Favor you do not deserve. Undeserved favor in other ways, as it's put. It is the grace of God that allows us to understand that in this new covenant, which is beyond the old Mosaic law, it's not based upon the good that you do. It's really based upon your faith. Because only the Mosaic law, only the law of Moses, can uphold that if you do this, that will happen. If you do that, this will happen. However, if you want to be righteous in God's sight, you must put forth self, you got to put what is called your self-effort to death. If you want to be righteous in God's sight, it's not about what you can do. Because if it was, Jesus Christ would not have had to come. You could have got up on that cross. You could have went ahead and dealt with your sin. So it's not about what we can do. We got to put self-effort to death. You can't do it by your own effort. We get into heaven not by our own effort, but what does the scripture say? By faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on our behalf. That's how you get into heaven. And here's the reality, and I hope you hear me now, because I'm going to take you to the Bible in a minute, but I want you to get this. Here's the reality. Trying to keep God's laws will always result in curses. Trying to keep the law, and I'm talking about the Mosaic law. I'm talking about in Deuteronomy 28 chapter, where it says that if you willfully obey the word of the Lord that is given to you this day, you should be blessing the city, blessing the field. That's when you come to go, around the 15th verse of that chapter, around that area it is. It says, if you disobey, you'll be cursing the city, cursing the field. As you can see, the Mosaic law is based upon your effort. Your effort, your works, is that filthy rag before the Lord. And oftentimes you won't hear this in the traditional church context because as long as you feel like you got to do something, you'll keep on doing it. Sunday after Sunday, time after time, and guess what? That keeps you going in a cycle, almost like a hamster on a wheel, moving the wheel but never getting anywhere. And how many of you have ever felt that way in your spiritual life? You pray, you fast, you sow, you give, but you still don't see the results you should be seeing. Because your efforts have, your focus has been on effort, on what you do, instead of being on what God has done. And I want you to understand, trying to keep the law always results in curses. But abandoning our efforts to do this is what keeps us in a state of confusion. So we got to be in a place where we say, God, we're going to believe what you said about us. You said we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You said that we have victory over the law of sin. You said that we shall not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. You said that we have the ability to cast down every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You said, by your stripes we are healed. You said that we shall be blessed according to our faith, that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. See, now, the good that God does in my life is not based upon what I do. It's based upon what I believe. And you've got to understand this. I want you to hear me. That if you want manifestations of God's blessings in your life, you got to focus on your faith. You got to focus on your faith during good and bad situations, during up and down situations. You got to learn to believe God. And I'll be the first one to tell you, it is so easy that when you're going through to say, I quit. It is so easy that when the odds are stacked against you, to say, I'm done. But when you are going through the most difficult times of your life, the only thing God is looking for is to know that you believe him. That you believe him. And when you can stand in faith, the works of faith, instead of the works of the law, guess what? Manifestation always takes place. So if you're living with your back against the wall and the floor appearing to drop from under you and everything that can go wrong is going wrong, you got to ask yourself the question, have I been going about this wrong? Have I been doing it my way? It's time for me to move from doing it my way to doing it God's way. And doing it God's way is simply, just as simply as believing him. Here's the first point I want to give you. Write this down. First point I want to give you in today's teaching. See, here's the first point, number one. Under the law, God's blessing was dependent upon our performance. Under the law, God's blessing was dependent upon our performance. And here's what you got to understand. Religion still teaches this. Religion still teaches that under the law, God's blessing is based upon what you do. How do we know that? Let's go to the Word of God. Go to Deuteronomy 28. We'll look at verse 1 and 2. I don't know if I have my reader on the line. If I don't, then someone can feel free with coming right on in. Go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to show you how, right, under the law, God's blessings were based on our performance. All right. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Okay, no problem. I got it. I got your attention, Pat. All right, I need a reader. Somebody who don't mind reading, unmute your line. Press star 6 to unmute your line. And we're going to be reading Deuteronomy 28 chapter, verse 1 and 2. I need you to get that quickly. If we don't have anybody who's not shy, come on. All right, well, let me proceed. Deuteronomy 28, okay, I got somebody. Who's that? State your name. Where you calling from?
Paula from Pontiana.
All right, Paula. Come on, talk to us, Paula. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. Let's read.
Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Now, I want you to see this, everybody, because with this understanding, the law was conditional. And here's what the condition was doing first before God acted. The condition was you had to do first before God acted. under the covenant of the law, everything that happens in our lives is based on what we do. And here's the sad thing. Most churches still teach this. Most ministries still teach this. Pastors still hold you according to the fact that you got to do for God to do. And that is absolutely not the truth. Now, again, I'm not knocking those churches at each other, because, it, like with anything, if you know doing something a certain way works and is working, then just, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That don't mean something ain't wrong with it. It means that you're working with something that's not operating to its capacity, but it's not completely broke, so why not fix it? So why fix it? And I just believe God is burdening my heart as a man of God, as the leader of Better Life, the movement, to teach people how to live according to the new covenant today. That you're not serving according to the law of yesterday, because I want you to understand, get bad mentality arises a performance-based Christianity. This is a mindset that people feel that if I do good, I'm going to get good. Now, this doesn't mean you go do bad and you're going to still get good. No, because if you love God, you're going to honor him. You're going to operate with discipline. You're going to flow with honor and realization. But this means that I'm not solely depending upon what I'm able to do, because I know that if I try to do it all on my own, in my own strength, I'll always fail. So I rely more on Holy Spirit when I'm faced with temptation. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Holy Spirit, give me the help. And watch this. Holy Spirit steps right in, because now you're depending upon Holy Spirit by faith. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We don't have to turn there. You might want to write that down. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Watch what the scripture says. There is no temptation such as common to man, which have overtaken you. But God, with every temptation, will provide a way of escape. That means that when I'm putting my faith in the Holy Spirit to help me, during the times when my flesh want to act funny, I can see the exit sign. And when I see the exit sign, I have the help of Holy Spirit to understand, just because I want to do something, if it dishonors God and goes against God, doesn't mean I have to do it. But if I'm only focused on performance based, I'll continue to try to please God by crossing every I, dotting every T. I told the story many times before how there was a gentleman who was a young preacher. He grew up, and during the time my grandfather was well into his ministry, and he would carry the Bible into the bathroom. When he went to go use the bathroom, he'll have the Bible with him. And it wasn't just for reading. It was protection. Everywhere he went, he had the Bible. And nothing wrong with that, but he had it as a shield. Not as a, I got a book that I'm reading, that I'm studying. So my grandfather asked him, he said, why do you take the Bible to the bathroom? He said, so the devil don't attack me in there. Now, it's funny, it sounds comical. But the reality is, in performance-based Christianity, you think you have to do something in order to get God to do something. And that's not it. The main thing you have to do is open your heart to Christ. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and that opens the door for every covenant to come your way. Because if, again, I'm going to go back to the point I'm making. If you have that do good, do bad, get bad mentality, you will always subscribe to a performance-based Christianity, which says that we must do something for God instead of allowing God to do something for us. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, let's go to Mark, the 10th chapter. Go to Mark 10. Come on, follow along with me. Only got a little bit more time here. I pray you already get blessed from this. I'm telling you, if you follow me in this series, you're going to be freed up. Come on, you're going to be free to be you. Free to be you, loving God as you are, as he loves you as you are. Because God accepts us as we are, all the while allowing Holy Spirit to change us unto what we are to be. All right, I ask you to go to Mark, the 10th chapter. We're going to read verse 17 through 21. Watch what the scripture says here, and I'll read this. That's Mark, the 10th chapter, for those of you who are just joining us, verse 17 to 21. Watch what it says here. Mark 10:17-21. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered them and said, Why thou callest me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not, honor thy father, honor thy mother, and he answered and said unto him, Master, I have done all these things from my youth. Then Jesus beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up that cross, and follow me." Now, I want you to understand, from reading Mark the 10th chapter, verse 17 to 21, the rich young ruler was only focused on what he had to do. He was operating under the law of works. And I want you to hear me, because we err when we trust what we can do more than we trust what Jesus has already done. You will always be in error when you trust what you can do much more than what Jesus has already done. All right, let's go even deeper. Let's go over to Galatians 5 and 4. Come on, I'm showing you this right through the Word of God. This is the only way to teach you. I got to teach to empower you, to inform you. Go to Galatians 5 and 4. Let's look at that. Galatians 5 and 4. Here's what the word of the Lord says. It says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." So in essence, what happened is, if we think our actions make us righteous, Christ cannot have any effect on our lives. If you think your actions or living by the law can put you in a good place with God, you then have fallen from grace. It's not like the world says. The world says you've fallen from grace when you make a mistake. That's impossible. It's impossible, because the whole essence of grace is that if I fall, he catches me. He doesn't throw me away. My grandfather used to give this illustration during his sermons and his preaching. He says, and I'm going to do it in his tone of voice. He says, if you grab a glass and you're drinking from the glass, if it falls down to the ground and breaks, many of you will throw it away. But God, having the same glass, will not throw the broken glass away, but by grace, he will put each piece back together where it belongs and keep the glass as the china that it was intended for it to be. And my grandfather would say it in that emphasis when he would preach. You know, he had a lot of je ne sais quoi in his delivery. My point is this: what happens is, again, God is different than man. God operates different than man. When we have a fall or a wreck, the world and others that look at it as, oh, you've fallen from grace. No, you didn't fall from grace. It's impossible. The only way, according to Scripture, and we just read that right here in the Word of God, in Galatians 5 and 4, the only way you can fall from grace, if you think your actions make you righteous, that means you no longer operated by grace. You operated by works. And if you're in that position, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, sons and daughters, Christ cannot have any effect in your life. Let me give you the second point I want to give you. Point number two. We're moving along. Better Life Principle number two, BLP, that's how we call them. Better Life Principle. Under God's grace, or under grace, rather, God's blessings depend on our belief in what Jesus did for us. Point number two, the second point. Under grace, God's blessings depends on our belief in what Jesus did for us. Let's go over to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 12 to 14. Hebrews 9, 12 to 14. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a moment to turn there. We're doing good on our time. Hebrews 9, 12 through 13. 14, rather. And I'm going to read this because I'm going to qualify this second point that I've introduced to you. How under grace, God's blessings depend on our belief in what Jesus did for us. Not in what you can do, but your faith in what Christ has done. Watch what it says here. Hebrews 9, 12 through 14. It says, neither by the blood of goats or in calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. For if by the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without a spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now let me break this down for you. See, the blood sacrifices for sin that was made under the law had to be repeated every year. Every year you had to go and repeat a blood sacrifice for the sin of your family, for the sin of you personally, for the sin. You had to do this every year. But it could not completely get rid of sin. Therefore, the people remained in what is called a sin conscience. They were very aware of their sin and their wrongdoing. And by comparison, Jesus' one-time blood sacrifice what removed sin forever. And when we say remove sin forever, we're talking about the power of sin. See, when you see the difference between the works of the law and the works of the flesh, you see the difference that what Jesus did on the cross, it removed the issue of sin or the power of sin once and for all. Once and for all. And dead works, when we talk about dead works are what is known, write this down. Matter of fact, yeah, let me give you this as a definition. Dead works are known as efforts to do something, to try to deserve something from God. That's dead works. Here's my question. Are you operating today in dead works? Are you trying to do something in order to deserve something from God? Now, this was one of the difficult challenges of my experience when I was confronted with truth over my tradition. Because I was taught growing up, if you do this, then God does that. I was taught in seminary, in Bible college. I was taught in all my formative training until Holy Spirit began to open this thing up for me. The Holy Spirit began to show me that it was nothing that I could do to earn the goodness of God. I just had to believe for it. This is why here in this ministry, you will often hear me say, you don't have to beg God to do something. You just got to believe him to do it. Some of you spend time begging God in prayer. Oh, God, I need you to release this money right now. Oh, God, I need you to heal my body right now. Oh, God, I need you to work this thing out right now. Oh, God, please, God, please, God, please, God. Lord, if you do this, I'll never do that again. All that is performance based. When all we have to do, if you believe in God for the increase of your family, your life, well, God, I have faith right now. I'm releasing my faith for this increase to happen in my life. And guess what? Sow a seed to cement that. Now, why is that important? Because that's a biblical principle. That when you give, he says, I'll give back on you. Press down, take it together, run it over, some means give it to your bosom. So if you got money issues, check your giving issues. Come on. Because a person who gives freely under every circumstance, and there will be times you will be tested. There will be times where you got your back against the wall and you only have this. And this is the very thing God will ask for. And some of you fell the test. Because you break it down and say, well, God, I know you want that, but I'll give you a piece of that because I need the rest of that. And what you show God is you're more dependent upon your ability than God's ability. Because when you live by faith, just like Peter, you have no problem stepping out on the water when you know the impossibilities that exist before you. When Jesus was walking on water and Peter saw him, y'all know the New Testament story. Many of you may know the New Testament story. Jesus said to Peter, it is I. Peter said, if it's you, allow me to come up on the water. The Lord said, come, C-O-M-E, which is an acronym for Christ over my edge. When I'm at the end of my point, the end of my rope, my faith in Christ is what allows me to get out of the boat to walk on water. And I've never seen a generation like I see today of people who want to walk on water but are afraid to get out the boat. When the Lord told us to establish this ministry nationwide, we knew that we had to step out of the boat. What is the boat? My comfortability. I'm already established. Lord, I already got this going here. I got that going here. My home here and this happening here. And the Lord says, get out of that. Go to areas I will call you to go to. You're going to be uncomfortable, but you're going to go to areas where you know no one. And you're going to establish the work of the Better Life Movement. Because there's a message I want to get out. And because you said yes to me, I'm going to use you. And anybody else who say yes to me, I'm going to use them. To teach today people how to live in faith according to the new covenant versus living in bondage and in fear and in work according to the old covenant. And I believe God so much so that I, not only I, along with my family, we step out of the boat to walk on water. And as you know, just like from the story, when Peter walked on water, the storm began to blow and the rain began to fall. And it was not until Peter took his eyes off of Christ, which represents the faith that one has on the Lord. Until he took his eyes off of Christ, looked down at the water, what he was doing, looked at the wind that was blowing, felt the rain that was flowing, that he began to sink. What happened? He started putting the focus back on his works instead of the works of Christ. If the Lord says, come, then all you got to do is come. Come to him. If he says, go, all you got to do is go. And I want you to hear me, and I got to teach this point, because I know I won't get to everything today, but let me give this to you. When you're living by faith, hear me, somebody need to hear this. This is worth you listening this far so far. When you're living by faith, more is given to you along the way than it is before you get started. I know that we all like to have everything together before we get started. No, when you're living by faith, more is given to you along the way than it is before you get started. That's what it's all about. That's when a person who trusts in the Lord takes every step along the way to receive from God, all by living by faith. And you know what? Living by faith is not what some people have made it out to be in a negative context. I remember one time I was in conversation with an individual, and many of you know I'm in wealth building. I help people build and create wealth, and, you know, just one of the businesses that I have on the side of ministry, and just really helping the body of Christ build wealth. And one individual came to me and said to me, Dr. Blue, can you please work with me? You know, I'm just living by faith. You know, I'm trying to make it happen. If you can work with me on this and work with me on that, and I'm living by faith. And I told him, I said, well, if you're living by faith, you should be in a better position than where you are. You're not living by faith. You're living by fear. That's why you're asking for me to discount this and discount that and discount this and that and that. You're living in fear. Because if you're living in faith, then you should have everything you need every step of the way. And that is a lifestyle that we grow into, because two positions you're going to be in, and this is what you should learn from today. Either you're going to be living by work of the law, or you're going to be living by faith in Christ. Are you hear what I'm saying here? And your dead works, are efforts to do something to try to deserve something from God. And I want you to hear me, because your faith is more important than what you're doing. Our faith is more important than what we're doing. And if we believe right, we will do right. Come on, That's why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you how to be free so you can believe right, so you can do right. Because as long as you see yourself a sinner with an issue that keeps failing and falling, you'll never do right. You continue to do that same thing because that sin consciousness is on your mind. But when you start seeing yourself, I am the righteousness of God. Did I just mess up? Yes, I did. But I'm still the righteousness of God. And His love, it goes beyond my fault and meets me at my place of need and causes me to rise up. And if I fall, I can get up off the ground and take a look at it and keep on ticking. And come on here. When you see yourself as the righteousness of God, you operate in that faith. But if you see yourself as a sinner, then you will constantly be conflicted with the issues of sin. Because that's how you see yourself. And I want you to understand that when you believe right, you will do right. I've learned to call those things that be not as though they are. I am victorious. Come on here. I'm walking in overflow. Yes, sir. I'm living according to the greatest potential that my life could be. Absolutely. You've got to learn to call those things that be not as though they were and watch them become. That's the life of faith. I don't care if you have a money issue. You should be going around talking about how God provides all your need according to His riches and glory. Come on here. You ought to be declaring you a millionaire, even if you a dollarmere. What do you got right? The heir, a part of the at the end of that title. Millionaire, dollarmere, it all ends in heirs. So if I can be a dollarmere, I certainly can believe for a millionaire or a billionaire. My point is this, it is your faith. Today, it's about your faith. It's about your faith in the finished work of Christ, not in your works. Now, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to tell you why your faith is more important than your doing. Did you hear me? Matter of fact, repeat after me. Say, my faith is more important than my doing. I know everybody can unmute your lines. It's okay. Say this with all my lines muted. My faith is more important than my doing. Absolutely. If you believe right, you will do right. If you learn to believe right, you will do right. Let's go to Mark 9:23. One of my favorite scriptures, if you want to know something about Dr. Blue, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the world. In the world. A lot of things that I've been believing God for, this scripture is attached to it. Ready? Mark 9:23. Let's go there. And I really want you to underline this, circle this, put it in your notes, whatever you got to do. Come on. Mark 9:23. Watch what the word of the Lord says. We're making good time. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that what? Believe. So he says, if you can believe, not if you can do it, not if you know who can do it, not if you're well connected, not if you've got the money for it, not if you come from a family in it. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is why your faith is more important than your doing. Faith should be more important than works. All God wants you to do is believe Him. All God wants you to do is believe Him. Let's go over to Galatians 3. Go to Galatians 3. I'm saying you from the Word of God, everybody. Please, and I know that it may seem like I'm being redundant, but that's how we learn. We learn through repetition. But I need you to see this, because if to this point, up to this point, you've been trying to do stuff to get God's favor in your life, you're off and you're wrong. You have not fallen from grace, because you've got to work on, you've got to do with your work instead of believing in Christ's work. Let's go to Galatians 3. 9-14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, this gets me so stirred up and excited. I'm telling you, when the Lord begins to teach me what I'm teaching you, and it was God, trust me, that this is truth that I had to choose over my tradition. Or else I would have been teaching people that the reason why things are going wrong in your life is because, you know, you ain't being right before God. And that's just not true. Oftentimes things are going wrong because you won't believe God for them to go right. God operates by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only thing that moves God, your faith, your ability to believe Him. And guess what? Your works are then attached to your faith. It on the other end, what does that mean? If I believe God, then I'm going to do things in alignment with what I believe. I can't say I believe God to expand this ministry nationwide, but I never traveled to different areas where we are not, or strengthen the areas that is. Right now, we're in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're focusing on the ministry location down here. We're putting energy and emphasis in the ministry location down here. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The only reason why that can work is, watch this here. I believe God for the expansion and increase, so I'm going in the direction of it. Does that make sense? Same thing what we did in Texas. And we're still there. Amen. We're going to be back there as well in the different areas. And those of you who are a part of this ministry, you know what the 10-year plan is. But my point is this. It's our faith in alignment with, it's a work in alignment with our faith that causes manifestation to happen. Not our works alone. I believe God. Therefore, I walk with God. Galatians 3, verse 9 through 14, and we may have to stop right here because we're coming close to our time, and we'll pick up on next week right here because I still got much more. I'm running out of time, but certainly not out of teaching. I hear what I'm saying here. All right, I actually go to Galatians, the third chapter, verse 9 through 14. Watch this. Here's what the word of the Lord says. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of works of the law are under the curse. Whoa, wait a minute. As many people who are of works of the law are under the curse. For it is written that cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Watch it here. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Watch this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessings of Abraham may come on the Gentiles. That's us. Through Jesus Christ. That's why we teach here at Better Life, that the better life starts in Jesus Christ. You can have the better life without Christ, but you certainly can't have the better life after Christ, because in the better life, you believe in the finished works of Christ. You believe in healing. You believe in prosperity. You believe in increase. You believe in overflow. You believe in sowing. You believe in giving. You believe in receiving. You believe in kingdom expansion. Are you following what I'm saying here? So I want you to understand that we got to get our minds off of works. We got to get our mind off of works, off the law, which emphasizes and demands mentality. It emphasizes demand mentality. We have to focus instead on faith in Jesus Christ. And grace emphasizes a supply mentality instead of a demand mentality. This is the type of thinking that allows us to receive from God. This is the type of thinking. Because we are now part of the covenant of promise. And Jesus is that promise. Do you hear me? You are now a part of the covenant of promise, and Jesus is that promise. And we have available to us every blessing that Abraham had. Very important. Because we say that the law, the old law, is no more, that doesn't discount what God promised Abraham and his children's children. That promise is available to us. We just read that in Galatians 3, 9 through 14. But I want you to understand that every available blessing that was available to Abraham is also available to you. Everyone. And I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here because I want you to understand as a quick recap, the two points, two main points I gave you. Point number one, the first point I gave you today was under the law, God's blessings depend on our performance. That's the first point. Under the law, you can only receive the blessings of God if you do something. Religion teaches this. Thank God I've been free from religion. Glory to God. How about you? All we back on relationships. And the second point I gave you today was under grace. God's blessing depends on our belief in what Jesus did for us. And out of those two points, I've shown you according to the word of God. If you follow the law, the difference of the two. So you might be in a position where you're back against the wall and things are going crazy and things are happening or not happening the way you want them to happen. And you can't understand because you feel like I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And why is it not happening or why is things not turning around? And I'm going to tell you why. Because your emphasis is on what you can do. Not on God. If your emphasis is on the Lord, then you're saying, God, I believe you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how it's going to be done, but God, I know you're able. I know you can do everything but fail. I know, God, you can turn things around. You can flip it upside down. What is out, you can bring in. What is in, you can bring out. What is wrong, you can make right. What is crooked, you can make straight. Come on. This is what you're able to understand. And this is why it's imperative that you understand when we talk about free to be me, we're talking about I'm free from the bondage of performance-based Christianity. Because even if I try to do it all right within my ability, I'll never do it right because I'll always fail. Because this flesh will always make a mistake. And when you get to the point of understanding the flesh will, you begin to rely upon the strength of God by faith. Well, you're not living according to the failing of the flesh. Are you hearing me today? And as we read to you, as it goes through the blessings of Abraham that is available for you, the Galatians, the third chapter, 9 through 14, the blessings of Abraham comes upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. If you embrace today, saints of the Most High, this truth, over your former tradition. And I'm going to be honest with you. Most churches don't teach this because the moment you stop feeling like you need to do something, the moment people stop, well, a certain pastor feel that people will not do. You hear me? If you feel like you don't have to show up every Sunday now again, don't forsake the assembly of the saints. Gather when it's time to gather. Yes. But does that mean that if I don't gather on the Sunday, I'm going to hell? Well, some churches see something different. I was on a broadcast the other day with a well-known prophet. All right? We came across my feet. I said, oh, let me see what he's talking about. Well-known prophet who started, in the midst of his broadcast, he started jumping down the throat of somebody who he hadn't saw in church in a couple weeks. And the person said to the prophet, hey, I got to work. I got a new job. The prophet slash pastor says, don't let me go come and rebuke that job because it's keeping you from church. Now, if that's not performance-based, I don't know what is. Because here's the deal. If you got a job that allows you to work on Sunday, then you show up on Wednesday or whatever other time the ministry gathers. But you show up on that time and you will not be cursed or left out or done wrong because you didn't come on that specific time, like many times leaders or anybody else who's spiritually leading anything says or will want you to in that case. You're under freedom. This relationship with the Lord is personal. Yes, we gather together, we learn together, like you're doing now. I'm glad you're here at Lunchtime with God. I'm glad you're learning. But if you don't show up, you're not going to hell because you didn't show up. If you don't show up, guess what? What's going to happen is you're not going to understand certain truths. So when your life is faced with difficulty, you're going to respond according to how you always responded. And that's according to your work. Because the moment things go wrong in our life traditionally, many of us say, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And now guess what? It's not about what you've done wrong. It's really about whether you believe God or not for the turnaround. Because as much as you want to be blessed, God wants you to be blessed. Glory to his name. And today, and we're going to continue on next week, but today I want to allow you to understand the difference of faith versus work. Of faith versus work. And when you understand that difference, you would choose a lifestyle of faith over your work any day. You receive the word today. If you receive the word of the Lord today, come on and give God some praise right now. I know I'm teaching. I got to stay in teaching mode because I can't preach this until you understand it. So I got to teach it first. And then again, I'm going to continuously show you according to the word of God how this applies to your life today. Amen. Amen. All right, saints of the Most High, we never close out our time together without giving you the opportunity to do two things. Number one, to make Jesus the Lord of your life. We want you to do that. If you have not done that, we want you to do it very simple. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And once I pray this simple prayer, if you open your heart to Jesus Christ, now the better life starts. Now you can experience the better life. And secondly, we never close out our time together without giving you an opportunity to be a blessing to this ministry. Why is that important? Everything this ministry does requires resources. Make no mistake about it. And when you can be a blessing to this ministry through tithing or giving, you enter into covenant with God. That he says, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, and he that don't sow anything at all will not reap anything at all. That's my emphasis, not the scripture. My point is this, you determine how you want to be blessed. In this new covenant, you determine. And when you sow seed into good ground, like Better Life the Movement, you are saying, Lord, I am so grateful that I'm walking in truth, and I'm no longer spiritually blind, being manipulated by a religious system, but I'm able to live in freedom. So today, this is what I'm going to challenge you today. And again, I'm going to lead you in Christ. Those of you who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but those of you who want to give, I'm going to challenge you today to give a $100 seed. That's like 100. If you can't do that, if 10 cents is as close as you can get to 100, then you sow that in faith. I'm challenging you today to give a $100 seed. I have no problem ever challenging the people of God, because when you sow today, you sow by faith. Some of you need to see God turn things around in your life. You need to see things change. Well, guess what? You can do that by showing the Lord, Lord, I'm believing you. I'm showing you. Doesn't matter if you can't do the 100. You get as close to it as you can. Amen. But if you can, then do that. But as you sow seed today, you are operating by your faith in God's ability to bring a return on the seed you are sowing. Glory to his holy name. How can I give? If you're on Cash App, you can visit us on Cash App at the $ Better Life Increase. The $ Better Life Increase. If you are on PayPal, you can go to betterlifeology@gmail.com. BetterLifeology@gmail.com is our email for PayPal. That's BetterLife, OLOGY, BetterLifeology@gmail.com. And lastly, if you'd like to give, you can text any amount that you're giving to this number, 407-456-7300. That's 407-456-7300. You can give by way of smart giving, that's through your phone, by texting that $100 amount, that $10 amount, that $5, that $2 amount. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, it's not always about the amount, it's about your consistency. Givers are always blessed in the kingdom. And if that doesn't work, and this is what the Holy Spirit told me, some of you are givers, but you complain all along the way, so your giving is not received. I'm going to give $100, but I don't know why Pastor Blue's asking for that. He should be asking for that. It should be about that. It should be just, no, wait a minute. Everything you give helps us to establish and carry out and maintain this ministry that exists. If you don't give $100 but complain along the way, you right now have forfeited the blessing on that because you're giving according to your word versus giving according to what you believe in God for. Well, God, it is my honor to give unto the kingdom because I believe you for it. It's my honor to tithe. It's my honor to give to show you that my trust is not on my own resources, but on your ability to take care of me. That's what giving is about. And if you have an issue when it comes to giving in the body of Christ, your attitude ain't right, your spirit is not right, and God loves a cheerful giver, not a giver who is giving grudgingly or who's made to give. And that's why I don't make people. In this ministry, yeah, we may challenge you to give a certain amount, but we'll tell you, if you can't give that amount, you give where you can. But stay giving, because it's the giver that continues to give that seed is given to the sower, and the sower is the one who sows. God promises to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Come on. And that's what he'll do for you. Amen. All right, very quickly before we go, I know I'm over time. Thank you so much for yours. Let me go ahead and pray. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just pray this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. And I make a decision to live by faith from this day forth in you that I can experience the better of life. I believe it now, and I thank you that you, Jesus Christ, is Lord of my life and my future. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that simple prayer, it's that simple, nothing deep. It's just making a decision to believe in Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, we want you to go ahead and send us an email to pastoralblue@gmail.com. Let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to give you some resources to help you start on this new journey of how to grow as a new covenant Christian. A new covenant Christian. That's right. This ministry, we believe in living after the new covenant. Amen. The finished works of Christ. And it's going to be a blessing unto your life because God wants a personal relationship with you, not an institutional relationship with you. And that's what it's all about. Well, thanks to the Most High. Let me bless your giving today. We thank God for you. Man, I'm so excited about what I'm teaching and sharing, and I pray you're excited about learning it. Because when you start to see how you had it wrong and how to do it right, now you can release the worry off of your life, the fear, the frustration, the aggravation, and you can live in peace, knowing that all that God has promised, He is able to perform. Amen. God bless you all. And thank you for being on today's call. Let's pray. Father, bless every person who's giving right now. Every seed that's being sown. I pray, God, that you multiply them back according to your word in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. To give according to how they want to be blessed. If they want to be blessed a little, they give a little. If they want to be blessed a lot, they give a lot. God, you promise that every seed sown will result in a harvest experience. So, God, I thank you for the experience of this harvest that we're sowing today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And, God, we believe you today that all good things shall come unto us because we're committed to your work and your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, thanks to the Most High. I'm 5 minutes beyond my time. Thank you so much for your patience. And we thank God for all of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Email us. Let us know who you are because we want to celebrate with you. And thank you for the many of you who've been following along during this new covenant teaching and the emails of encouragement that I'm receiving for how you've been blessed and are being blessed by what I'm teaching you, how to live according to the new covenant experience as a new covenant Christian. God bless you all. Have a great day, everyone. Be blessed in the Lord. This is our prayer. Always remember, life was meant to be good, and you were meant to be better. Have a great day, everyone. God bless you all. Bless one another before you get off the call. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you all. That was such a blessed teaching today, so I appreciate it. Everybody have a blessed Wednesday. Love you all.
Thank you, Pastor. What a blessing. Thank you so much for your sacrifice and your love for us. Everyone have a blessed day. Bye.